Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
We're back again this week. Man, don't ever say we didn't do anything nice for you by having two episodes a week. Because I'd say that's pretty nice.
It certainly isn't because we have a gigantic backlog and we're scrambling to get through it.
We'll never get through it, Ian. What are you talking about? I've just given up at this point. At this rate, the amount of questions we get is like, it's insane. Keep it up. We need questions. This is a Q&A show, so we need the questions. So keep sending questions.
Nice to have job security.
Yes.
This week is all standard Q&A, this time coming from YouTube.
Yes, correct. YouTube right. Comments specifically. So not from the live stream. This is all from comments. And these are some older ones that actually I think I ended up kind of skipping. And yeah, so not intentionally skipping, just like there was a big block of, I don't know, a month or two, I guess, where there were questions and we never answered them. So yeah, I got to tell you, we get a lot of questions, guys. We get a lot. It's yeah. So sorry if we missed yours. Don't answer yours. Sometimes it's because we can't answer it, and other times it's because, well, we get a lot of questions. So anyway, without further ado, let's get started. Here's this one from MSF. When browsing the internet, I often come across individuals with the idea that Sega is forcing the Deadly Six to keep showing up in the comics. So that got me thinking. Has Sega had any influence on the Zeddy appearing in the comic, or are you writing them into the stories of your own volition? I'm fairly certain it's the latter, but some clarification is always nice.
Yeah, that was my choice, because I want to use what's available. I mean, sure, it's nice to create things in the book to fill niches that the game story doesn't, but you know, you don't want to make it all original content all the time, because that's not a Sonic book, really. So the Deadly Six are villains. They're in the franchise, and I thought they could be used in an interesting way. So I do.
Yeah.
And Sega had notes on how they should be and how they should interact and yada yada, but there was no call from on high, thou shalt use the Zeddy. It was like, okay, I know these aren't necessarily fan favorites, but I think I can do something interesting with them and entertain. So
yeah, it's kind of funny though. It's just, yeah, like you said, they're not fan favorites, but I think you've made them work, so that's a good thing. And we've already had a Sonic comic where most everything in it is original. We don't need another one. Here's a question from Ninja King Ace. I have a question. Who is the best, most overlooked / underrated Sonic character, and why is it Amy Rose?
I mean,
things have gotten a little better for her, I'd say, but
yeah,
you're definitely onto something there.
I think Knuckles kind of suffers from that too.
Knuckles,
yeah, he shows up.
I think Knuckles probably actually suffers from it worse these days.
He's kind of just the plus one. He needs to get his edge back.
Yes.
Of course, considering how the games have focused almost exclusively on Sonic lately, if you're a fan of anyone else, you could probably add to the list.
Yeah. Let's see. If we're talking comics, there's a good one here that I got, and I agree with this one. Relic, who was sadly did not get to really be a major part of things for long enough. The Pronghorn Sisters, I mean, there's a lot of things, man. Yeah, Phage, that's a good one. I don't know, man. What do you think?
I mean, I thought the spirit of the question was just, you know, the game characters. If we're going to expand into
true.
All media, we'll be here all day.
That's true. That's a good point. I mean, game characters. Yeah, Knuckles more so than Amy these days. Amy is finally at least starting to get her due, I think. So I like that. I'm glad. I hope that continues. And that Knuckles freaking finally gets over himself. Punch that stupid emerald and leave it punched. Here's a question from anti-nuclear activist, our pro-climate change. Wow. I don't know where we were going to be getting so topical. Why not just force everyone to license their questions under Creative Commons Zero or something?
Okay, we answer what, 15 to 20 questions per show.
Well, here's the thing about Creative Commons. You could literally just say, this is licensed under Creative Commons, this number, and then it will be. But you're treading on weird ground, dude.
Let's say an average of 40 questions per week, which requires us to hunt down 40 people per week, get their contact info, get them to sign a piece of litigation or, you know, actual legal documents, which to be legitimate have to be drafted by a lawyer, which is costly, just so that we would have the clearance to maybe answer somebody's fan idea. No.
Well, no. I mean, if they went through all the work and then sent it all to us on their own volition, well, I'm not going to speak for you, Ian, but I'm just saying. That,
see, I don't, but that's, I honestly don't very, know
yeah.
how in the clear I would be, and I would have to invest in a lawyer to see.
Honestly, if that is, with the way Creative Commons works, you can pretty much just say that your work is licensed under Creative Commons, and it will be. But, I mean, that's a, I don't know, man. That's still, you're not, that's not necessarily saving you from a lawsuit. It's just meaning you would have a better chance of winning the lawsuit. It could still happen. Mm-hmm. I think that's what people kind of don't necessarily understand all the time. Is that you can't necessarily prevent someone from outright suing you. It just, there's certain things you can do to make it more likely you win. Anyway, it's a very strange question. Here's one from Vlad C. In Black Knight, the sacred sword Excalibur is stated to be able to cut through anything. Could it cut through a super form?
Well, I mean, it says anything. Hmm. And you're kind of like fighting in the very existence of the storybook realm, so...
Depends on what your definition of anything is. Is it literally anything? Is it anything less powerful than it?
I mean, if Excalibur Sonic threw the blade up and caught it with his face, it would either bounce off or just like through butter.
Well, this is a Sonic game, so it can't be the latter. That's so that would never happen. So it's just got to bounce off his face, I guess. Weird. Yeah, anyway. It's like you can always make a more powerful sword. You can always make a more powerful metal. You know, just look at adamantium. That crap's weak, man. Nowadays, like adamantium is nothing. We got all this other stuff. All these other metals. Like adamantium's just, I don't know. Adamantium's like... just straight up steel at this point. Might as well be. And we got a question here from Alpha Omega. I've noticed you stating that Tails is 8 in the comics. While I understand that being his established age in the games, in the comics, specifically issue 155, he states that he's actually 11. I'm curious, was this retcon sometime before the Super Genesis wave, or did you just forget?
I'm not sure what the context of the question is, like when I said he was 8. Like, obviously, IDW, he's game age. If it was post-Genesis Wave, then I think we adjusted everybody to be game canon just to be simpler.
Age questions, man.
if I said it pre-reboot, which I can't imagine where I would have, then, yeah, I guess that would have been an error. But, no, they're asking about... See, that's the thing. I don't know when they're asking.
This is mentioning issue 155, which you didn't even write, but still.
So, I don't know. But yeah, like, I don't think we adjusted. We didn't adjust the ages post-reboot. No, dadgummit. We didn't adjust the ages pre-reboot. We were trying to stay close to the canon. But post-reboot and IDW, yeah, they're game canon. Maybe the discussion was game canon versus pre-reboot books and saying he was 8. I don't know. See, this is why it's a mess. And this is why he tried to stick to the actual canon of the license so that you don't make this confusion. But if
well,
if
you just, at well, some point you just have the confusion of the license, which, you know, that's not your fault.
If at some point I said Tails was 8 pre-reboot, then yeah, I was wrong. But that is so far gone and away, I don't really know why we're bringing it up.
Ages with Sonic characters. I don't freaking know, man. They're just, I don't know. Some of them are more childish age. Some of them are teenage, and I don't know. It's confusing and scary, and I don't understand it. Whatever. Here's a question from maybe Toby. Why was it that a few issues after the reboot, we only see Sonic and Tails walking away from Knothole, saying it was nice to see Knothole again? Why didn't we actually get to see what Knothole looked like post-reboot?
It wasn't part of the story. It was more to establish that this was the new status quo. So it was more important to establish that there was a wood zone and that they were on West Side Island than it was to establish Knothole itself.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I just really didn't want us to get tied down to Knothole yet again. This is the new direction. Let's go away from Knothole. So there really wasn't much of a point of establishing a whole settlement that we weren't going to see for a long, long time. You know, it was a name drop. You know, Knothole exists. That's the nod. And then maybe at some point in the future, we could have returned to it and actually established it.
It's a bunch of trees, or it's an underground series of tubes, or it's, I don't know. How many different incarnations of Knothole have there been? Just a lot. Very confusing. Very, very confusing. For a while, it existed, like, what, 3 minutes in the future or whatever? Like, why?
No. We're not going to there.
3 minutes in the future.
That got killed dead.
As it should have, because it was completely the stupidest thing I've ever heard. 3 minutes in the future. What?
3 hours. I thought it was 3 hours.
Was it 3 hours? Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, hours.
It still didn't do anything, but.
Hours kind of makes it less stupid, but it's still pretty stupid. And I don't feel bad about calling it stupid, because it was. Dane the Great is here with a question. When Sonic and Mega Man's worlds merged in Worlds Unite, did YouTube videos get demonetized?
Sure. That was one of the many dangers of the merged worlds. Demonetization.
Well, I mean, it would have
Thank
happened.
Thank you, Sonic and Mega Man, for saving monetization.
It would have happened regardless. Also, YouTube. Is this a reference that I have completely overlooked?
Maybe. Was that
Our
off-brand YouTube mentioned somewhere? I don't remember.
No, not like the band YouTube. Just you and then two. Like you too. Yeah, like you as well. You too. So, yes, all the videos got demonetized, which was weird, because why would that have any effect on it? But, oh well. And now this...
Dimensional energies, man. Weird things happen.
And now this episode has been demonetized, so let's carry on. I don't know why it's been demonetized. Probably because we're talking about demonetizing it. yeah. Here's a question from Chaos Sabermoo. What were you planning on doing for the arc with the Mega Man Killers and the Genesis unit? Would it have been a combination of Wily Tower and the plots of Mega Man 1 through 4 on the Game Boy? Would stuff like Ballad sacrificing himself still happen in it? Stuff like that.
It's been a while since I made those notes, but I think roughly that Mega Man... Oh, what were the Game Boy games called overall? Or was it just that they had the Roman numerals?
A lot of the NES and Mega Man 7 and 8 used Roman numerals too on consoles, but as fandom, I think we've pretty much all agreed that the Arabic numerals are referring to consoles and the Roman numerals are referring to portables.
So. Okay, well, in that case, I think I remember doing the research and finding that there really wasn't a lot of story to be had in 1 through 4.
No.
So that I was going to kind of do a blanket adaptation of them, kind of fold them all into one story, and that that adventure was a distraction so that the Genesis Tower could be built. And then kind of part two of the story is Mega Man taking on Genesis Unit and the tower. I don't think we were going to devote a ton of time to it because there, it's a lot of retread and not a lot to it. But yeah, Ballard would have done the sacrificial thing. We would have hit the key points throughout. I want to say we would try to have built Quint up as a thing because I had long-term ideas for him. And then five would have been a big deal because the Star Droids, that's a story that you can get some mileage out of.
Oh, yeah.
Tie that into like the evil energy and tie it into Ra Moon and do all that stuff. But the original four Game Boy games and the Genesis game, I think, was going to be kind of a smooshed together arc.
Genesis game? You mean Wily Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's literally just their ports of 1 through 3. There's nothing, I don't think there's really anything new in them.
Well, it's got the, what are the Journey into the West characters called? There's like a Kappa bot and a Sun Wukong bot and a Pig bot, a Lung bot, and like they're guards within the tower. And I'm pretty sure Quint.
Oh, the tower. Thing. Okay. 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 I forgot about the tower mode thing. Oh, yeah,
like it's, there's not much.
There's not much,
but
there.
You know,
okay.
You know, so I wouldn't have made it too big of a thing.
I was confused. I thought maybe you were referring to the Game Gear game, which is its own thing, actually. It's kind of that's kind of interesting. But yeah. Well, hey. Maybe someday we'll just have to go back. We'll just have to get into our alternate universe machine, Ian, and go to the alternate universe where Mega Man comics are still a thing.
Yep. I mean, our YouTube channel is demonetized, but by God, we've got the comics.
That's right. That's right. And we got a question here from Geo. Since Starlane is starting his own empire, will he get a robot buddy like Orbot and Cubot? And which robot masters would he reprogram?
Not going to spoil what's going to happen in Imposter Syndrome and going forward. Sorry. But if he were in the crossover and he were going after robot masters, I mean, on the one hand, it depends on where we are in Mega Man and who's available to him, but that's being a little pedantic.
Yeah.
I think he would look for those who had practicality more than presentation, but he couldn't help himself to a degree.
I was going to say, he's got to get Shade Man. Shade Man is presentation.
Yeah.
And Shadow Man.
I mean, Star Man.
Yep.
Quick Man is kind of an obvious hard counter to Sonic, or so he would think.
Yeah, not even close, but, you know, he's called Quick Man.
Maybe Napalm Man, just in terms of sheer firepower.
Yes.
But others he would, you know, just kind of poo-poo, like, what was it Charge Man who was the locomotive?
Yes.
Needlessly superfluous design. Just build a train.
How rude.
Strike Man. It's a baseball. It's not a robot. And honest to goodness. Okay, so Woodman is impressive on a technical feat, but he's made of wood.
What about Airman? I mean, he can't be defeated.
Well, absolutely, there's, Airman. He can't be defeated, as you said.
There is a whole song about that.
For goodness sake, he flies high above Monsteropolis.
Absolutely.
And he looks down upon the general populace. Oh, I could definitely see that.
Oh, actually, there are two songs about that. Now that I think about it, he cannot be defeated. Let's see. What about Sheep Man?
He would underestimate Sheep Man at his own peril.
I think everybody underestimates Sheep Man. I mean, yeah, it's a sheep, man. Just gets all staticky and then zaps things. It's an electric sheep. That's the reference. It's a little on the nose.
Yeah, but bless him for it.
I know. Just sad it took him 10 games to get there.
Well, first I had to develop enough RAM.
What about, let's see. Gosh, which one am I thinking of here? There's so many fire ones, like, and they're all pretty similar. So, I don't know. Maybe he'd look at the fire ones and be like, ah, so expected. Too obvious. Same with the cold ones. But then he'd look at Cut Man and be like, what, are you a scissors man?
He wouldn't be able to take the puns.
No. I think he would probably dismantle Cut Man. But Cut Man's head would still be talking. Just going on. Just going on.
Stop
and on.
Stop, desist, end your prattle. You mean cut it out. And then the next shot is just a box of parts.
Oh, Cut Man. I miss you. All right. Let's get into this one last question here before we take a quick break from Green Soda. Speaking of Breezy, in the Archie reboot canon, why did she decide to keep Scratch, Grounder, and Coconuts and give them a higher ranking than the other Batniks? Why did Eggman throw them away?
Because they were higher tiered Batniks at the time. They had enough wherewithal to be part of the S6 squad, excuse me. And, you know, in that regard, they had a little more experience, so, you know, utilize them properly. And they were discarded the same reason why the others were at that point, is because Eggman had moved on to different tech. They were obsolete, so junk.
Hmm. So I was thinking maybe Breezy felt kind of felt for him a little bit. Like, you know, they've been horribly mistreated because, of course, they were.
Well, that, too. That's why she took in all the Batniks.
Yeah, right. True. It's a good point. But, you know, she gave them a higher ranking because, you know, she thinks they deserve better. And they probably do. She's probably not wrong. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Bumblecast. And we have returned to grace your ears with more Q&A goodness. Starting with this one from Pedro Nerd. Hello, I'm liking the podcast and Sonic lore information so far. Well, thank you. I have one question. Attacks of the characters of Sonic Adventure 2, like Knuckles Thunder, Sonic's Wind, Rouge's Black Hole, are they canon? Like, they still can do the attacks?
I don't know. I'm leaning towards not. This kind of ties into the discussion we had on Monday about game mechanics and their presence in the story world.
Right.
And I feel like those are more like multiplayer moves and not so much actual character techniques. And I feel a little better saying that since they don't really show up again, or they don't show up frequently. Like, I can't remember if Knuckles and Rouge had similar moves in Sonic Battle. And in that case, they show up like twice in the whole franchise, you know? So they're not really signature moves. They don't really make a ton of sense in the story. So I'm more inclined to say no. But, you know, if Sega comes in with a note saying, oh, yeah, sure, they're free game, I'm wrong. And, you know, can adjust accordingly.
Hmm. Interesting. Here's a question from Michael B. Could we see the Battlebird Armada appear in IDW, or the classic exclusive? Or is Sega disregarding them from canon?
I don't know. I would assume they're classic, given that they only showed up in the classic era in one game. But I would like to see them back in a classic capacity or otherwise. But you know, that is for the future.
Alrighty then. And this next question is from Sixclawed. What is it about evolutions in the Digimon series you do not understand? It is pretty well established how you raise your Digimon influences and how it evolves. It is more seen in the games like Digimon World and Digimon World Next Order, though it is addressed in the anime series as well.
Most of that is ignorance on my part because I never watched the show or played the games. So I'm just looking at this from a very outside perspective. But I see, like, evolution charts of one critter turning into another critter, or possibly that critter, and that has, like, three or four offshoots. And is that determined by level? Is that determined by items you feed your critter? Pokemon's pretty straightforward. You raise it big, and it turns into thing. I mean, there are other things, but that's like one-offs or oddities, you know, stones. Okay, you apply the stone and that gives you the elemental change. That makes sense. That's A to B. Not as fond of some of the weirder ones, but you know, in general, you know, make your thing big, it will turn into thing. Digimon, like, I see no logical continuity between some of the changes. I can't, you know, name a specific thing because I don't really know the series. I'm just going off of old memories of stuff I've seen around. But that's me and my ignorance. That's not anything like critiquing the series.
Digimon, Digital Monsters, this is the theme song. I don't know the rest of the words because that's too catchy. Here's a question from Campbell Sonic. What are the limits of Mimic's shapeshifting abilities? Can he only shapeshift into real people, or can he shift his appearance to whatever he wants? Can he become things other than people? Most importantly, can he turn into a convertible?
Unaided, I think Mimic is fairly limited in his shapeshifting insofar as he can't turn into something with moving parts like a convertible.
Darn.
And I don't think he can really turn into anything too crazy. Like, he's not going to turn into a Death Egg Robo. We're not going to get into the particulars of where is the mass retained. Like, if he turns into Charmy, is he like super dense now? If he turns into Eggman, does he lose that density? Because that's one, I'm not smart enough to think of that. And two, this is kind of more cartoon logic shapeshifting. But I think he's more generally able to shapeshift into other animal beings within a reasonable range.
So you're telling me he can't turn into a car like in Turbo Teen?
No.
His teeth don't turn into the front grille of the car?
No. That car's going to give me nightmares.
You're telling me he don't grow a huge donk before it turns into a trunk?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Man. Show's so weird. 80s were weird, man. Was that the 70s? I don't know, man. They were all weird. Whatever. Man. Were you around in the 80s? 80s were weird. Jeez. I was like 4, so I missed most of the actual 80s. I was, you know, a kid. A tiny, tiny child. All right. Here's a question from none other than Miles T. Prower. Question from Tails. What's the status for T-Pup? Is he on the table? Can you use it? Modern or classic universe?
Well, if he's on the table, he needs to get down. He doesn't belong up there. Bad dog. Down. 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 I imagine he's classic as well. The name T-Pup is, I believe, an Archie exclusive type of thing, so we'd have to probably go back to the original game name.
T-Dog. D A W G, of course. Can't be anything else.
As for usage, I don't know. They kind of fall under the same blanket as the Battleborn Armada. It's obscure classic era stuff. So I hope we can use it at some point, but I don't know if we ever will.
Yeah. Also, I licensed that name for Creative Commons zero. So you're free to use it. You are free to call him T-Dog.
Sure.
T-Dog. I'll only sue you a little bit. And I'll lose. Because of this recording. But hey. Alright, here's a question from Aaron M. I was wondering, is there any way to get a fan character within the official comic series, even if they're just a background character? Wow, this is kind of topical to what we just had. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Officially, no. Absolutely not. Unofficially, I know that in the past, creators have rendered characters of their fans, friends.
Characters of their fans. Wow.
Maybe their fans. I don't know.
Actually, some have rendered their faces. Own. Some have rendered their own characters even.
Yeah. They've shown up in the background and
yep.
That's kind of a, you know, wink nudge. Let's not talk about it too hard. That's just a fun thing.
Uh huh.
if you are asking about, you know, what form do I fill out to personally request this? You don't. That does not happen. And you do not, I repeat, you do not go searching for one of the current artists and try to befriend them in the hopes that they will put your fan character in the book. That's just skeezy. Do not do that.
Yeah, don't do that. But the real answer is just be the artist on the book. I mean, how hard could it be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You got this. You got to. How hard is it to draw Sonic anyway? He's a bunch of circles. I mean, geez. He's so simple. He's so simple. He's just a spiky circle. That's it. That's all Sonic is. Just like Kirby. Except he's not spiky. Sometimes. Again, I am being sarcastic. Please understand. Please understand. Here's a question from Mystery Flavor. If Tango, Whisper, and Jewel were in Sonic Heroes, what would their motive be to find Dr. Eggman?
It would almost be Team Sonic's motivation to find and stop Eggman. Tango would be all gung-ho for the adventure. Whisper would be down to business. And Jewel just wants to make sure Tango doesn't get in trouble. Please slow down.
What about... I think this was actually a reply to this, so I don't know. It might be a little too much. But what about some of Wisp's getting kidnapped by Eggman?
Maybe to explain why she's only the fly type.
Yeah.
No, Jewel's fly type. So why she'd only be the power type.
Power type, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
That could work, sure.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, maybe she's just not quite all there. So that would make, actually makes pretty good sense. I like it. When is Sonic Heroes 2 coming out, Ian? Can you tell us?
No.
Oh. Shame. Shame. Here's a question from Smuggy Boogie. All this talk of how great Big is makes me even more upset that he isn't in IDW more. Ian, Evan, even Kyle, what he is? Where's my boy?
Big, the charm of Big is that he comes in small doses. If it was all Big all the time, he would lose his mystique. Part of what makes Big special is that you don't see him for a while, and then suddenly he's driving a truck, or he's on top of a skeleton out in the middle of the desert, or he's fishing off of some mystical mind palace inside of a living book. That is the magic of Big.
Yes. You must have, he's Big, but he only appears in small doses, which is kind of ironic. I can't help you. I can't help you. I do want to see a little more Big. Maybe a tiny bit more. Maybe just a smidge. I don't know. Maybe just
smidgens of biggins.
Yes, maybe just like, I don't know, show the top of his head occasionally. Like, it's just there. Why is it there? I don't know. It's just there. It's just there. Here's a question from Zarek Studios. Carrying on from Noni's question. I assume this was a previous question from a long time ago. You said Eggman Nega is dead. Where did that come from? Rush Adventure came out after Rivals 2, which kind of shows Nega escaped at the end of Rivals 2. Or is this word from Sega?
This is my position until I'm told otherwise. I'm not super beholden to game order, especially with the Rivals and Rush series, because their placement in canon is dubious. Who knows where it all fits together. And Rivals 2 ends with Nega trapped under burning rubble in a hell dimension with no means of escape, no support, left completely behind by Shadow and Metal Sonic. If he escapes and menaces us another day, I'm going to not be happy about it, because I don't like him in general. But he hasn't shown up in an official capacity since then, not with game order notwithstanding. So I'm going to be quite happy to say he burned alive and we'll never see him again until he does.
You said doobie. Sorry.
You don't have to be so blunt about it.
Sorry, I have nothing to add. My brain has turned into grass. I've never done drugs. I have no clue. I don't know anything. I really don't. This is me being serious.
You don't know about the marijuana?
No. Well, I know about it. I know it exists. But never, I've never partaken.
The devil's lettuce.
Mm. Cool. I like the devil. He's pretty cool. I mean, he's actually extremely hot because he's down in hell where apparently things are super duper hot, I guess. I don't know. Weird.
Well, no, according to the canon, he lurks, he stalks the world as a lion. So,
right.
Not as a lion, like a lion.
Mm-hmm. That
itself is not the original Latin, so, which is not even the original Aramaic, so whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're getting way off topic. We have one last question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, really, this is just me trying to fill out the runtime. Not really. It's not a big deal. Just being silly. Anyway, our final question this week comes to us courtesy of Necromage. Do the Deadly Six genuinely care about each other, or do they just consider each other as useful allies?
According to the Saga, the latter. I was a little surprised by this. Apparently, if one of them were to fall off the face of the Earth, they would not care.
Interesting.
The fact that they came all together in the Zeti Hunt arc was actually a little out of character, so I had to rationalize that within the story. But yeah, they are only together because it's a matter of power and convenience. They do not give a flip about each other. The only difference there is a kind of master and apprentice thing going on between Zeke and Zavok, so there's that respect. But yeah, they are not beholden to each other in any way, apparently.
Well, strange, but okay, I guess. Like, whatever. So, like, are they supposed to be even related? Like, do you know that? Has that been said? No? Okay. See, I got this weird impression they were like siblings from Sonic Lost World. I don't know. They seemed like they had just had that dynamic, but
no. I think that's more of
they had the, well, like evil siblings, you know, not like normal siblings.
More like they've been roommates for so long that they're used to one another.
Or that, kind of yeah, thing. That's true. Yeah. Hmm. Well, that's going to do it for all the questions this week, but we'll be back with more next week, and you better listen to it and absorb it, take it in, and understand all the questions, all the answers, and don't go spreading weird misinformation about the answers. Anyway, I'm done.
Before we wrap it up, we're going to give a big thank you to everyone who makes the show possible over at patreon.com/bumblecast, ko-fi.com/bumblecast, and our YouTube members. Big thank you to Daniel H, Alex P, James K, John B, Jennifer R, Robotnik Home, Samuel P, Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Mike B, Kuplin Crew 128, Duas Diz Din, Diane W, Andrew D, Scruffy Matt, Chris A, Div, Dave M, Salute Your Cat, Sony, Off, John M, Noni, Don B, J Frost, Yami M, Lee HK, Lisa M, Chevelle, Jib, Hero of Life 13, Piggy Bank, Ryan D, Blue Title Gamer, Speedweed, Tick Tick, Final Neil, Jonathan D, and Rachel W, Ben Wolfsbane, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Dalek, the Dalek, let's actually say the full name this time, Dadler, the Dalek, Daniel B, Invade Turbo Tuna, BC the Unicorn, Fiona M, Dove, Red the Supernamic, Pandolce, Carlos, Joe S, Preston M, Fire Red XY, Chad, Jennifer H, Alphamon, Oryukin, Chico D, Renard Pixel, Liz, Chase L, Spark Z, Owen BD, John the Real Waluigi, that's a bit of a tongue twister for some reason. Sapphire Scarletta, Noah S, Deltarune Jerry, Kojiro Highwind, Turbo, Michi, Ava Wolf, Crooker, I'm stumbling over my words here, Kimiko, Red Wolf, Louis J, Callum Q, Radry, Professor Rye, Cameron H, Alex the Border Collie, Techno Cinema, Saturn Flicky, Scurvy Pirate Hog, Madeline Blue Star 7, Idira, and Quark 196.
Wow. This is I don't know. I don't even know what to say at this point to that list of names. It's absolutely enormous.
Concerned. I may have skipped some on Monday, and I will feel bad if that happened.
Well, it happens. Sorry about that, guys. There's a lot of you now. Keep it up. Thank you. Very much appreciated.
You are the reason why this show happens, so thank you very much.
Yes. With you, with your support, we keep doing it. So, and we'll keep doing it until, geez, I don't know. I mean, I have no plans to stop, really.
I'm here for the long haul.
Yeah. I mean, we've been at this for 5 years, almost, well, actually 6 years, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Man, I'm trying to remember time pre-Bumblecast. I don't know.
When dinosaurs walked the earth.
Yeah. I don't remember. It's like BK before cast.
We're going to end on that high note. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. And we will see you next week for more Bumblecast.
You said hi.
You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
I'm so out of it, dude. I don't know why. It was hot outside today, okay?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it probably, like, for you, it would actually be nice, but it was in, like, the 80s, mid-80s. And, I don't know, it was sunny. No shade. So, yeah, my brain is literally fried.